We have been talking for the last month about change. We've been talking about how we have been changed, and then last week we just talked about change. Today we're going to continue that thought of change and how sometimes it's uncomfortable, sometimes it's something that maybe we don't want to go through, and sometimes it's something we think that other people can't be. We think people maybe can't be changed, and maybe it's not a we, maybe it's just me, right? I wanted to come to you today and say, you know, sometimes I think it's impossible for people to change. And it's not something that I'm supposed to think. It's not something that I'm even supposed to admit to the church, right? I'm the pastor. Like, you have to believe people can change. And I do. I believe that people can change. But you know, as we've been coming up to this month of praying for the harvest, and as I've been praying along with you, as I've been praying for these names on my little card, as I've been praying to the Lord of the harvest that he would raise up workers to send out into his harvest field, that he would bring in his harvest, that he would use this church to do it. God has shown me some things in my heart. He says, you don't really believe it. Yes, I do, God. No, you don't. You need to trust me. All right, Lord. I will trust you that you can change anyone. And the title of today's message, you can see it up here, Change. The gospel can find a way. The good news of Jesus can find a way. Now, when we talk about the harvest, okay, I don't know about you, but I get images of farming, okay? Like, if you drive right outside of our city, there are farms for miles, especially if you go just east of our city, okay? Maybe you're not a farmer. I didn't grow up on a farm myself, but when I think of going out into the harvest field, I think of a field full of nice, rich, black dirt soil. And I think I've got a picture of that. Tobes, can you bring that up for me, buddy? I think of a farm field. It's got this nice, rich, dark soil. There it is. Perfect. It's been tilled. It's been ready, right? I even imagine that I can go out into it, and I can scoop my hands into it and pick up a nice clump of black dirt, ready for planting, right? Like, to me, that looks like soil that's ready for a seed to be dropped into it, watered, and it can come up unhindered, right? This is what I think of, okay? And then once you've sown a seed, once you've planted a seed, right? For us, maybe it's once we've told somebody about the good news of Jesus, or just a thought about Jesus, a hint about Jesus, a thought about what God's doing in our life. After a little while, we can see a little plant start to grow. This is the idea that I get when we talk about praying for the harvest. But you know, then sometimes when I get real honest with myself, I think, yeah, totally. But then I leave this place. We leave this place and we go out into the world. We encounter something that looks a little bit different. That's lava rock. Okay? That is molten rock that has bubbled up from the center of the earth, that's cooled and become solidified, absolutely hard, okay? And absolutely abrasive to the skin if you were ever to go up and rub against it. Sometimes instead of a field filled with black dirt and ready, you think, man, yes, this is an awesome opportunity. This person is ready. I'm going to sow the seed of the gospel. It's going to sprout up, and I'm going to be like, yes, I did it. Sometimes, instead of a field with beautiful black dirt that we feel like we can scoop up a handful of and watch a little plant grow, sometimes it feels like we're looking at a field full of just solid rock. Have you ever been there? Okay, I'm not alone. That's a good thing, right? But you know what? Where we see a field full of what used to be molten rock that's deadly to anything that touches it, and then cools and becomes impenetrable to human force, God sees a harvest. We may see what looks like a field of solid stone. We may see a field of complete solid lava rock. But God sees a harvest out there. This is a picture of a canola field that in just a month and a half, 2 months' time, if you drive around our city, just outside of our city, you can see field after field after field of this stuff. It is beautiful. This is what God sees. And I'm coming to you this morning admitting that sometimes I see the rocks. Sometimes I see impossibility. But God sees harvest. God sees something that is ready. It may not be ready today, it may not be ready tomorrow, but did you know that the gospel can make a way? Now, Jesus told us that it's the condition of the heart that matters, right? He said that there's some that have healthy soil, that they're ready for that seed to be planted. Some hearts have been hardened, and that if the seed is planted, sometimes the birds come by and they pick up that seed. The enemy comes and he plucks that seed away. Some let other things into their life and let those weeds and other things, the thorns, choke out that seed. But I believe that the gospel can make a way. It can. I believe that God, even if it is a completely flat, hard surface of rock, he can make a harvest out of it. Have you anybody ever taken a walk in the mountains and seen the cliff faces and the trees that are coming out of the cliff faces? Boggles my mind. I'm sure, I know there are people much smarter than me that can explain how those trees do that, but it boggles my mind. Where are those roots? Like, how did it happen? How in the world would a tree grow in a solid, flat rock surface? I have no idea. And sometimes when we're out there and maybe we're praying for people, maybe we're talking with people, and we feel like, you know what, God, I believe I've been faithful to plant a seed and to plant a seed and to water the seed and to try to take care of it and try to be a good example, try to be Jesus to my family and to my friends, to my neighbors, to my coworkers. I'm trying to do that, but God, I feel like I'm throwing seeds on rock. How in the world? We need to remember that we are the ones that God is sending out to be workers in the harvest field. It is his harvest. We need to remember that not only is it his harvest, but we can't make a change in people. I want you to think back just for a minute, and I'm gonna bring us back to this thought, okay? But I want you to think just for a minute. If you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, I want you to think about when you were changed. When you were changed by the power of Jesus. When God's Holy Spirit came into your life, think about that time. I want to ask you, could anyone have made that change in you? Any one person? Any group of people? Can an outside force, human force, make that change in you? No. Who changed you? God did. Who changed me? God did. So when we're looking out and we're talking about the harvest, we're praying for the harvest, and we're going out and saying, yes, God, I want to be Jesus to my coworkers, to my family, to my friends, to anyone that I know that doesn't know you. I want to be Jesus to them, and I want to be a worker in your harvest. But then we get out there and it looks like rocks. Toves, can we go back to that picture of the tree and the rock? I want us to remember that God, you are the one that can make a way. I want to tell you a little story and start the story, and then we're going to continue on in the story in Acts chapter 9. If you have your Bible, I would invite you to open it up to Acts chapter 9. We will have it up on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you or on your phone or what or anything like that. But did you know that where we will start reading today is a time that was really exciting for the church? Just like right now, I find that we're in an exciting time with Southwinds. Man, we're seeing new people come visit all the time. We're seeing people have opportunities to share the love of Jesus all the time. We're getting ready to join God in planting and starting a new church. It's amazing, and there's lots of momentum going right now and lots of excitement going on right now. And you know that right in the time of just after Jesus went back to be with his Heavenly Father, after he had been put on the cross, he had breathed his last breath, put in a tomb, and risen on the third day, to draw breath once again, to declare victory over death. And then going to be with the Father, Jesus said to his church, you will be witnesses across all the world of who I am and of what my Father's work is. You will be the witnesses. And you know that thousands and thousands of people were turning to Jesus. Thousands of people were turning to him. It was so exciting. There were new churches being started everywhere. And yet there was opposition. You see, there were some that said, we don't believe Jesus is the way. We don't believe he is the truth. We don't believe he is the life like he said he was. We don't believe for a second that he's the Son of God. And we are going to do everything in our power to stamp out this movement that says Jesus is the Savior of the world. There was opposition. And there was one guy that was really, really adamant with his opposition. He was fervent, you might say. A radical, you might even say. His name was Saul. You may know this story. But Saul did everything within his power to stamp out the movement of what we call today Christianity. He did everything within his power. He even went to the leaders of the Jewish synagogue. He went to the leaders and said, may I have letters and so that I can travel from here in Jerusalem, so that I can travel from here and go up to a place called Damascus, and with this letter have the authority that if I find anyone, man or woman, if I find anyone that subscribes to the way, that says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if I find anyone, that I might be able to imprison them and punish them for their crime. The leaders said yes. So here goes Saul. And he starts off on the road to Damascus. Letter in hand. And on this road, when he's on his way, and man, he is charged up, right? Like, and Saul, by the way, has been part of stoning what we call the first martyr. The first person to lose their life for faith in Jesus. His name was Stephen. Saul was there. He was fervent. He was passionate, passionately against Jesus. One that from the outside in that day, you might think, there's one guy that will never change. We just got to outlast him. Well, let's read this story about Saul. He's on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden there was a bright light that shone in front of his eyes. Pick up the story. A bright light suddenly shone around him, falling to the ground. He heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? He said. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. But get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the sound but seeing no one. Then Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they took him by the hand and led him to Damascus. He was unable to see for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, here I am, Lord, he said. Get up and go to the street called Straight, the Lord said to him, to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so he may regain his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has authority here from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go. For this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and the sons of Israel. I will certainly show him how much he must suffer for my name. So Ananias left and entered the house. Then he placed his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. At once something like scales fell from his eyes. He regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul, persecutors of followers of Jesus, adamant, that anyone, man or woman, that admitted to following Jesus, he'd throw him into prison. The gospel can make a way. Now, for Saul, it was a very specific way. Would you agree? Like, God got Saul's attention, I think. Blinded him for 3 days, gave him a vision that said, there's a man named Ananias that's going to come see you. You need to receive him. So, when I read this story, and maybe when you read the story, you think, well, yeah, Bo, like, if God blinded me for 3 days, or if he blinded the person I've been praying for 3 days, I would hope they would take notice. But God hasn't done that. You know, if we took the time, and I hope we will over the course of the days, weeks, months, and years that we have together, to get to know each and every one of our stories, do you know that each and every one of our stories would be different? There may not be anybody in this room that was blinded for 3 days. Maybe not even blinded for 2 or 1 day. But everybody's story in this room, followers of Jesus, your story is different. And God encountered you in a different way. But he encountered you. He met you. And when you submitted to his leading, submitted to his authority, and said, God, yes, I am a sinner. I need forgiveness of my sin. And the only way I can have that is through Jesus. And not only do I need forgiveness of sin, but I need you to lead me all my days. I want you to lead me all of my days. My life belongs to you. Then when we do that, God is the one that changes us. And he meets us in ways that will get our attention. He met Saul in a way that would get his attention. Right? God had plans for Saul. And you know what? God has a plan for you and he has a plan for me. He has a plan to use you. He has a plan to use me. And he has a plan to use the people that you've been praying for. We need to continue to pray. We need to continue to be Jesus to these people. You see, when God came to Ananias in a vision, and he said, I want you to go to Saul of Tarsus, and I want you to talk to him. Ananias, you remember what he said? He said, God, I don't know if you know, but I've just heard that this Saul from Tarsus is a pretty mean guy. I've heard that he's been doing all kinds of things to followers of Jesus. You sure you want me to go? And God said, go. You see, when Ananias looked at Saul, when he thought of Saul, I think he thought of granite. I think he thought of lava rock that had been solidified to the point that it would never be changed. It would never be softened again. It would never bear fruit. But God saw a harvest. He saw a harvest. And Ananias was faithful and obedient. Even to, for all he knew, to the point of going to prison by even approaching Saul and talking to him. God has a way, and the gospel can make a way. Now, Saul still had a choice. He still had a choice not to pay attention. He could have gone the rest of his days being blind. But he decided to say, Lord, I cannot deny anymore that Jesus, you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. I will live my life for you. God had his attention. God changed him. And that lava rock became a harvest. Now, this very same guy, very same Saul, okay, who's now called Paul, God changed his name. Now, he becomes one of the leading followers of Jesus. God used him to start church after church after church after church. God used him to take the good news of Jesus to thousands upon thousands of people that didn't yet know it. Okay? God used him. In fact, God used him to write half of the New Testament, what we call the New Testament. And he wrote these letters to churches. And he wrote a letter to the Corinthian church, the church in Corinth. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Do you think that would be an important statement for Saul to remember? For Paul to remember? A guy that used to say, you know what, I'm going out to try to crucify Christians. I'm going out to try to imprison Christians. But you know what? That life is over now. The old is gone. The new has come. Now, everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Again, can you imagine that would have been important for Paul to remember? That God didn't count the wrongdoing of the people against them. He didn't count it against them. He said, I want to forgive you. You come to me, and I will forgive you. Important to Saul, important to Paul, and important for him to share that message with everyone else. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Reconcile. To make compatible. To harmonize. To square. To make congruent. To make or show to be compatible. You see, we were separated from God by sin. Paul understood that our trespasses, our decisions that go against the will of God, separated us from him. But he made a way for us to become square. We were in debt. He paid that debt. We were out of relationship with God. He made a way for right relationship with him. He says, he is the one that set out this message, and he has given this message to us to take to the world. Now, I want to say, we read about the account of Saul. We read about an incredible, amazing account of God blinding someone to bring them to the point where they would submit to him. We talk about someone that was changed to go out and reach all the world. And you think, yeah, but I don't know any Sauls. How do you know? How do I know? And you know what? Not everyone is going to be a Saul, but everyone that we become Jesus to, that we show a picture of Jesus to, that we share the good news of Jesus with, everyone can be changed. Everyone God has a plan for. And he wants to use them in his work. He wants to send them out into the harvest field. Everyone. We looked at one whose life looked like lava rock. But God used him. God changed him. We've got one more video that I'd like for us to bring up. And this is another video testimony. Testimony of someone who's been changed. I want you to listen to Jamie's story. Jamie's story. God takes a mess and he makes a message out of it. We are the mess in that message. And every one of us, if we're honest with each other, if we're honest with ourselves, we say, God, thank you for making a message out of a mess. You see, some people may have looked at Jamie and seen lava rock. Said, man, he's gone too far, like he's hopeless. Some, I'm sure, even when he moved out west, I'm sure some continued to pray. Some continued to say, God, you can make a way in him. And God did. And Jamie has been changed. And Jamie continues to change. And I hope and pray that Jamie does decide to get baptized this summer 2015. And I hope and pray that at Southwinds Church, we say Jamie after Jamie after Jamie, come to know Jesus Christ. We see Jamie after Jamie after Jamie saying, yes, the people that I'm talking to at Southwinds, like I keep hearing the stuff that I just need to hear because he's hearing truth. I'm not talking about from the front. I'm talking about from the people that they encounter throughout their week. In your workplace, in your community, on your street, in your house, that people would encounter truth and grace. And then instead of us seeing lava rock, that we would see what God sees. we would see potential harvest and say, God, would you use me to go out into that harvest field? This week, I just want to ask you to think about your story. Again, if you are a follower of Jesus, think about your story. Think about how God changed you. And think about the point that he had to bring you to do that. And as you're remembering that, remember that only God could have done it. And as we're reminded of that, and as we pray for the names on these little cards, and if you don't have a card like this, we have some on that table right over there. It's got a spot right on the back for us to keep with us at all time with names of people that we're praying for. Say, God, I pray that they would be changed. That we would remember that only God can do it. We are his agents. We carry the message of reconciliation, like Paul told us in 2 Corinthians. But only he can change a heart. Only he can change a life. Maybe this week ask God, who is it in my life that I see is lava rock? Who is it in my life that I see that way? And God, would you change the way I see them? Would you help me to see them like a beautiful field of golden canola? Would you help me to see that I need to be praying for the harvest? This week, let's do that together. And let's pray and ask God that we would be Jesus to all those around us.